Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The Sharks lose in a shootout 3-2. Brendan Dillon and Chris Tierney are your scorers for tonight's game. I cannot believe it. The world is ending. Brendan Dillon gets his first goal on the season. We are Teal Town USA After Dark. Follow us at Teal Town USA on Twitter. Use the hashtag Teal Town USA to send us your questions. We can also send us some questions in the YouTube chat. We'll be following along with you guys. Catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and of course on the YouTube channel. We are broadcasting here. Anyhow, I am joined by the lovely and talented Rocket Backhander. Rocket?
Hey, I'm the chunky peanut butter in your peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Backhander. Hi, guys.
And we've got the lovely and talented AJ Strong. AJ, how are you doing?
I'll be the jelly.
Well, I guess that makes me the two pieces of bread between them.
Hashtag. You and the laundry.
Yeah, exactly. Me and the laundry. And this fella over here somewhere. I think he's right there. Right there. Aha. Okay, well, I mean, it's a 3-2 loss in Toronto. I mean, it's been a long time since we've had to talk about a loss in Toronto, but here we are. I mean, Austin Matthews opens up the scoring, 18:37 into the first period, makes it 1-0 Toronto, but Brendan Dillon comes back on a really freaky bounce off of Brent Burns to make it 1-1. Guys, what do you guys think about just the overall defensive pairings tonight between Burns and Dillon? They seem to be really holding their own and causing a lot of havoc.
I think that, it's kind of weird because 2-3 years ago, was it 3 years ago now, that Dillon, you know, you saw him out there on the ice with Brent Burns, and you automatically knew something bad was going to happen. So it definitely is a lot better now that watching them kind of trust each other a little bit more after having played with each other for a couple of seasons.
Well, I mean, and I think really I have to commend Brendan Dillon on really focusing on his skating. I mean, quite frankly, he's just a better skater than we saw him ever be in Teal since that trade came down from Dallas 2.5 years ago, I guess it is now, but I guess almost 3 years ago. So, I mean, you know, his skating has really improved and really allowed him to keep up with Burns. AJ, what do you think about that pair?
I'm fine with the pair, but I still want Martin to come back at this point. I mean, tonight, Ryan and DeMello, you know, DeMello can't even crack 9 minutes. Ryan barely over 7 minutes. So, I mean, if you're seeing that much time from your top four, you're not able to, you know, have the bottom pair at least get into double digits. Yeah, we need to see Martin back out there. That's taking nothing away from what Dillon has done filling in for Martin. I think that's as much time as Yoki Ryan got with Burns. Obviously, DeMello seems to so far be the better fit. But Martin, come back soon, man, because we can't have these guys playing that little bit and gassing out the top four on the D.
Sleepy Mofo bringing up in the chat, DeMello is too soft. We need somebody to have a little bit of grit. Maybe get a little grit from him. I thought he played pretty gritty tonight, though. I didn't think he was soft on the puck. I thought he was making some hard hits and holding his own. I didn't think that pairing was all that bad. I think when you're put against Nylander and you're put against Marner and put against Matthews, you know, it's hard to defend those guys. And you saw it all night tonight. I mean, the Sharks were really lucky to get a point. I mean, because honestly, the two bounces that they got, which we'll get into right now, in the second period, Nazem Kadri scores 12:40 into the second and gets Toronto up 2-1. And then a fluke bounce, I mean, or a fluke misplay by Frederik Andersen has Chris Tierney score an unassisted goal. So, and all in all, I mean, had the bounces not been there for the Sharks, it would have been 2-0 Maple Leafs, because they were just, quite frankly, just outskating the Sharks. And it wasn't for a lack of mismatch and talent, I don't think. I think it was just purely old legs versus new legs. I mean, what do you guys think about just the speed contrast between the Sharks and the Maple Leafs? Rocket.
You know, I think that at good stretches of this game, the Sharks actually were controlling the speed and sort of dragging the Leafs along. And I think it just seemed like the Leafs kept waiting for the Sharks to get tired. But I think maybe Sharks coaching has done a little bit of their homework, and maybe they've kind of prepared for these kinds of events where they would need extended bursts of speed. They looked a lot stronger than I expected them to, insofar as the speed areas go. I really like that Joe Thornton has taken kind of his role has shifted from, kind of being a playmaker to just sort of having fun with it. I don't know, like just kind of he's generating chances by being a distraction and just having a lot of fun, which is definitely on point with the Sharks brand.
Yeah, I agree too. I think he's really moved away from, well, I mean, I wouldn't say that he's moved away from being the Sharks engine because he does lead them in points, but I do see him having a lot more fun. And maybe the knee injury really kind of put his career into perspective. Like, hey, I'm really lucky to be playing this game. I mean, I think that might be just one angle. And I think he's just a fun guy to be around. I think he's always been that way. AJ, what do you think about just the speed differences between Toronto and just kind of the resurgence of Joe Thornton?
To kind of piggyback on what Rocket said, I actually thought the Sharks controlled a lot of play for this game, especially in the second period. I mean, the Sharks maybe get a lucky bounce here and there for making this game 2-2, but then again, if the Sharks could have gotten one of the five power play opportunities, if they could have gotten one in there, the Sharks win this in regulation 3-2, or at the very least, they win it in overtime 3-2 with that 4-on-3 they had for the final 2 minutes, which I do think that there should have been a bit more kind of, I don't want to say panic, but definitely urgency. I thought they left out the top unit, whether it was, Burns and Thornton and Pavelski. I thought they left them out there for too long for the final 2 minutes in OT. I would have liked to have seen Hertl and Donskoy get a little more opportunity than, like the final 20 seconds. But
Yeah, but Donskoy wasn't having a great night with that puck, so I don't know if it would have been fair to give him even more time and not be good.
I totally agree with Rocket on that one. Donskoy was really fighting it all night tonight, and the pairs in overtime were Pavelski Thornton, normally paired with Burns on the back end. It was Couture, Donskoy, and Vlasic, and then it was Bodker, Hertl, and Braun as the third pair. I think Chris Tierney got out for one shift, and I think he was also skating with Braun as well. But
I'm just talking about the extra time that Thornton, Pavelski, and Burns saw during the final 2 minutes of overtime when they got the power play.
yeah,
So with
definitely.
the, yeah, but again, I go back to if the Sharks can score on one of their power plays in regulation, it's a different game. A couple of guys probably fighting the puck a little bit. I thought Burns made some really boneheaded passes tonight. I mean, seriously, there was a couple times, and there was even once or twice where there was one particular time where I remember screaming at Couture to take the shot. Instead, he went for a really dumb pass, and that we've seen it with McClellan. I mean, you saw it to a certain extent with Ron Wilson. I don't know what it's going to take to change the culture of this team to a shoot first mentality. Just too many times, like they're looking for the fancy pass. I get it if the guy is like, there's an open line to the guy who's sitting there parked on the back door, they can jam it in. That's one thing. But throwing it across the slot where there's like literally two opponents waiting for it, who can see it coming, it's what the hell are you doing? Just get the damn thing on net. But
Yeah, no, I agree, and we saw it when the first power play unit was broken up for a little while, that shoot first mentality was what they were doing. But it seems like after they were reunited, and especially since Couture has been back, I felt like, okay, they are really now going for the slam dunk play instead of going for the volume on net kind of play that we were seeing when you had Hertl in there, or you had LeBanc up there, or you had Donskoy up there. One player that I thought, and this is going to be shocking, but one player that I thought stood out really well for the Sharks tonight
If
was
you say,
Bodker.
oh, F you.
I honestly think
8 minutes, 8 minutes tonight. I mean, just like, I mean, come on. I think I saw him out there for one goddamn shift in the third.
That's the thing, though, is that Boedker has amazing speed.
Right, and that's why
he's got amazing speed. He has nothing else. He's got great speed. So, you know, for 8 minutes, he got to skate really fast. Good for him. I thought Sorensen had a much better night, even though, I mean, he only got like 2.5 minutes more than Boedker. But Boedker did actually he had one shift tonight that started out really well, made a couple of good plays, tried to get down deep, and then he made a couple bonehead passes. So, and this was something tonight that seemed to be permeating throughout the team. I saw Thornton with a couple dumbass passes. So, I don't know. Maybe if there was – I don't know what was going on with the team tonight. Again, this is one of those ones where I can – like, somebody fetch me my power play drum, because this is a night that it would have made the difference.
Agreed. And you know, these were not abbreviated power plays. They were really, I mean, pretty long stretches of sustained power play time. I mean, they had shots on net and they had some really good chances. But again, that lethal kill that we saw a little bit earlier in December, we're just not seeing it right now. And we're not seeing that shoot first mentality, which is what made this power play kind of rise up out of the ashes a little bit. Now it's kind of gone back to, you know, same old, pass along the perimeter, wait for the one-timer from Burns, or try and get Pavelski a one-timer, you know, going back into that umbrella instead of the crash the net style. So,
not to mention the great game they played in Montreal just 2 days ago.
Right. Exactly. Although they did give up a power play goal in that game. They gave up
power as they play did tonight.
As they did tonight. I mean, the one in Montreal you can forgive because it's a, you know, 5-on-3. But the one that they gave up tonight, not that great. I mean, you let Nazem Kadri score? Really?
and the Sharks got a power play goal in Montreal as well, so...
I think the big difference here was that the Leafs got a 4-minute power play and they got all 4 minutes of it. Sharks get a 4-minute power play and they get less than 2 minutes of it. And the guy who was supposed to be penalized still gets to take his shot in the shootout. That's bollocks to me. I think if you're in the penalty box when overtime ends, you shouldn't be allowed to shoot in the shootout.
Agreed. And I also felt like Mitch Marner sold that a little bit. It was Marner. And you know, I thought that they kind of called it. I mean, he didn't have blood at the initial onset of that, and I think he bit his lip. And I think the refs bought it. So I mean, I don't know. Call me conspiracy theory, but I don't know. It kind of left a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth, for sure. Well,
speaking of sour taste, this is just Syngenix saying Boedker leads the league in dollars per point.
Very, very good.
Shocker. What a shocker.
Very good. I mean, yeah.
Who on this team needs to get healthy for Boedker to be put on waivers? I mean, come on. At this point, I mean, seriously. 8 minutes, for Christ's sake.
No, what
Goodrow
is that? Well, I think Goodrow's close to coming back. I mean, I think we were saying that he's close to being activated. So there was some thought. Okay, well, do you do the easy move where you put Joakim Ryan back on the Barracuda, or do you put Sorensen back on the Barracuda? I mean, Paul Martin's still sitting in the box. So do you do a twofer here where you put both Ryan and Sorensen back, and you bring in
if you go with what you have tonight, Hansen was riding the pine. I would have taken Hansen over Boedker tonight, and maybe Bodker's out there because of the whole speed thing, but I mean, again, it's just like, oh, Boedker, he's got incredible speed. 8 minutes, people, an entire 8 minutes, which clearly says coaching staff has zero confidence in this guy. And it reminds me of, oh, well, Boedker is a speed threat and blah, blah, blah. It's just like when they used to talk about, well, we brought in John Scott to protect the rookies, which is really easy to do, protecting rookies when you're seeing 52 games from the penalty box.
I think they brought John Scott in for comic relief because they knew it was going to be a rough year and he's the best guy to have in the room. So I think they just embraced the fire.
Maybe so, but it's just again, it's reminiscent of them talking about how bringing in John Scott was to protect these kids that were coming up, and how do you protect kids from the press box? It's a little maddening.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I totally agree. Just kind of really running through, I mean, the list of options here. Tim Heath can't go through waiver. He will be picked up. So, I mean, maybe you think about putting Paul Martin through waivers and putting him back, although he's got a no move. So I don't know how, or actually modified no trade. So he can be moved down. So maybe put him through waivers. I mean, and if somebody picks him up, then go ahead, eat that $4.8 million. I mean,
they're going to make a trade just after the bye.
Interesting.
We'll see. I would put, for the love of Pete, man, put somebody on waivers. Well, I don't care if it's Martin or Bodker, just free up that cash. I would rather it be Bodker, but I mean.
Well, remember, you don't get, you get a little bit of cap savings, but because it's an NHL contract, you can't do the stash, you know, Sheldon Surrey kind of deal anymore. So you do get a little bit of cap savings, but it's only a fraction of the actual deal. So really, you're just making the space. You're just making the roster space.
Laura looking to point out at 7:21, you will have talked about Bodker's 8 minutes for 8 minutes.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. I mean, Bodker literally is the fart in the elevator, man.
Yeah. Puckeye saying Martin would be a great pickup for Toronto for defensive depth. Hainsey's getting a ton of minutes for the Leafs. I totally agree. I think Montreal could also be a really good landing spot for Paul Martin as well. Rocket, what do you think?
Burns needs Martin in order to maintain production, and we need more offensive production with this system. Gosh darn it. So I think Paul Martin should return. That way Burns can get back to scoring and making all sorts of points and just being the whooping and hollering Wookiee that he's supposed to be. He's uncomfortable. He's having to put too much thought into figuring out what his partner's doing, and it shows in his production on the ice.
Interesting. I mean, we did talk about that a little bit earlier in the season when it seemed like Brendan Dillon and him were not super comfortable. I think since I don't know, maybe around December, you've started to see the Wookiee kind of turn the corner, gotten a lot more points uptick. And I think he's becoming more comfortable with Dillon, although mind you, it's only assists that he's piling up right now, not a lot of goals. So, you know, maybe Rocket's on to something. Maybe he's a little afraid of pulling the trigger from the back end because he's worried about somebody blocking the shot up high in the slot and pulling it back the other way, and he doesn't have his safety blanket or a safety teddy bear that's Paul Martin.
I don't know what it is. I'm interested to see what the hell happens between now and then going into the bye next week, and then that return home game versus the Dogs, which will be 41st game, halfway through the season. Are the Sharks, like, this is the time. Like, you know, I think it's like, you know what you have at this point. Clearly, zero confidence in Bodker from the coaching staff. If this cap, $4 million getting 8 minutes, I mean, get the hell out of here.
Yeah. And quickly around the Pacific Division, just kind of giving some quick updates.
Finish my point, but okay, go ahead.
Because Calgary just tied it. They just tied it 2-2 with LA with 12 minutes remaining in the second period, which is interesting because we are trailing the Kings, but Calgary is nipping at our heels. And then Edmonton has scored 1-0 against Anaheim, which is direct consequence of the Sharks, because if Anaheim does win tonight in regulation, they will leapfrog the Sharks for third place. If Edmonton, of course, beats Anaheim, Anaheim will be a point behind the Sharks. Go ahead, AJ, finish that thought. Sorry.
I'd like to see Martin come back like ASAFP and send Yoki down to get him more than 8 minutes a game, get him even more confident, ready to come back. That was primarily it. I mean, at this point, we saw who was it that ripped out Jumbo's beard tonight? Was that Kadri?
Kadri, yeah.
I've Kadri showing more effort than as a that's just we saw Kadri get more out of Thornton tonight than Bodker has all season.
True. And I mean, you know, kind of going back to the defense core, I'd love to see Tim Heed back in the lineup. I mean, you know, talk about a guy that can bring some offense from the back end and get a little bit of heat off of Brent Burns, kind of a la what was Rocket was saying, is Tim Heed. And I like the Tim Heed and Brendan Dillon pairing. So
how nice would Heed have been as an option in overtime tonight?
Oh, it would have been a great option. And let's face it, you stack the deck with Pickles and Braun, with Martin and with Burns, and then you put Dillon and Heed. I mean, those are three really strong pairs. You've got
You want to have a really good time for your 3-on-3 and OT? You put Vlasic out there with Burns and Heed.
Yeah, you're two.
I would really enjoy that.
You're two forwards and your defenseman right there.
Yeah, I would straight up and down enjoy that. I think it would confuse the hell out of. They'd be like, "Wait, what?" Because they wouldn't have any kind of their thinking would be completely different.
Yeah, it'd be kind of interesting. It really would.
Might work. Mike's part something interesting. Yeah. Try it out, Pete. Try it out.
Although, you know, Pete is kind of a slow and steady, you know, wins the race kind of deal, and he's not really creative. So as much as we'd love to see that, I unfortunately just don't think that that's going to happen. But kind of going back, I mean, like I said, the only guys that are waiver ineligible, so the guys that can clear waivers without going through them, is Marcus Sorensen and Joakim Ryan. So to me, the easy move is to activate Gaudreau, send Sorensen down, and then
Meyer is also exempt, isn't he?
Meyer is also exempt, but I think he's
pretty good. Yeah, who the hell signed him down?
Yeah, I mean, he's what, third or fourth on the team now in goals? I think he's fourth now with Chris Tierney picking up another goal. So I don't think we have to worry about Meyer or Bank for that matter either leaving. I think both have really stepped it up and really solidified those spots that we asked them to do. I mean, LeBanc has had 9 points in 7 games now. I mean,
oh, dude, LeBanc just, I mean, and even tonight's that shootout goal. I mean, that was LeBanc it, again. And I think I mentioned this on the last episode of the Pucknologist. I love this kid right now. He's quietly under the radar, just showing up every game, making a contribution.
Yeah, ever since he got into the doghouse, what was that, in November? You know, and really,
well, Gaudreau had to leave for a little while, so they had to put something in the
doghouse. Right. But I mean, ever since coming back from that, he's been really good. I mean, and been doing everything that the coaching staff's asked. I mean, he's sixth on the team in scoring. I mean, for a rookie, that's nothing to sneeze about, you know, especially for a team that's point starved.
Oh, speaking of points, Puck guy in the chat mentioning Tierney has 9 goals. Cobra's having a solid year as he moved up a line.
Can somebody answer the question that kept going around on Twitter earlier today and on the chat about why Tierney's nickname is Cobra? And while somebody answers that, what's going to be the higher number this year? The amount of teeth that Burns is missing or the amount of goals Bodker scores?
I believe currently that
teeth Burns are missing.
Yes, I will go with teeth that Burns is missing.
I think he's called the Cobra because his strike is so deadly.
Oh, man. Couldn't have saved that for an opener for the Pucknologist, huh?
Okay. Gen X saying Tierney is French for Cobra.
I like that one.
Yeah. That's good at a party. That's a pickup line right there. You know that my name is French for Cobra.
Vodka's French for loser.
Skylar Greenberg bringing up a good point. Is Anthony Duclair worth looking at? I mean,
worth looking at and then worth looking over. Next.
Okay. Ooh. Well, Rocket's coming in and coming in hot. Hot takery right there.
Man, she almost acted like he was a Calgary Flame.
Oh.
If his name were Matt Tkachuk, I wouldn't be so dismissive.
Well, I'd love me a Matt Tkachuk along with a Timo Meier and Thomas Hurdle all on a big
Oh my God, can
line.
You imagine Tkachuk and Teal?
Oh goodness. Yeah, that just reminds me of old Rafi Torres before he blew out his knee and before the 41 game suspension.
It's been a while since the Sharks have had a player like that.
It has been a long time.
Oh, yeah. Paging Scott Parker.
Yeah. Well, quickly shifting over, going over to the stats department, Tierney moves up to third on the team in goals with 9 goals on the season and really depositing some loose change that Frederik Andersen kind of just let out of his pocket right there.
Can we talk about how much money Chris Tierney is going to get paid this offseason?
Yeah, he's gonna make some monies and it's good for him
huge fuck up by Doug Wilson this last offseason to not do something for him.
However, you know, it's not that big of a fuck up because he is an RFA, and I know I need a deposit. It's a deposit in the square jar, but he's an RFA, so it's not as bad as if, you know, he was like sitting right on that last cusp of a last deal. So I think he's earned a bridge deal, and I'm thinking we're looking at 2.5 mil for Tierney.
But it's not only Tierney that you have to look at too, the Hurdle as well. So it's going to be that's one of the reasons why I'm still saying that I don't think Thornton comes back next year. I think they're going to use that money to extend those guys.
Yeah, interesting. Gen X saying Tierney is Ontarian for Bodker deal. Yeah. Wow. Although I would have given that money to Tierney, you know, 4x4 for him versus Bodker. Hell yeah. Any day and twice on Sunday. I mean, Tierney is just way shoulders above the competition as far as hockey IQ, you know, if we're going to use the buzzwords. So, I just think that really it's nice to see him really show up in his contract year and really, kind of coming back from a slap in the face in the offseason. You know, Doug Wilson said, show me what you're worth, kid. Show me that I made a mistake. And as AJ, you know, as AJ put it, he's going to show him. What do you think, AJ, on the deal? What do you think he's going to get?
I mean, boy, it's we're talking Tierney.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if he gets minimum 3.5 for 3 years. I mean, if you look at Bodker getting 4 for 4 years, I think honestly 3.5 for 3 years actually might even be a slap in the face to Tierney, considering what Bodker has done, because Tierney took it damn serious last year when PDB kind of called him out and said, you know, you need to work in the offseason. What did Tierney do? Tierney put in the work, and it is paying off right now, and he's just getting better. So the fact that he put in all that work and is also seeing all the results from it, that's why I'm kind of, you know, I mean, if it's me, minimum 3.8 for 3 years, but and here's the thing. I think this needs to also be of note here. Rewind the clock like 2 years ago. There were a lot of people. I don't know if they were all on this chat or all on Twitter. There were more than a few people that were slamming Tierney, saying, oh, he's never going to be more than a fourth line guy. You know, rarely was anybody pointing out the fact that he was having to drag. See, there you go.
I'm the only one.
A lot of guys saying Tierney would never be more than a fourth liner. They weren't really pointing out the fact that it's like, well, he's having to drag around, you know, guys like Haley or Scott. And I know like Rocket's going to get my shit in a second, but having to drag around guys on the ice at of that skill level. And now you see what he's doing with guys skating with, you know, whether it's Donskoy or Carlson or whatever, but other guys that are hungry and have talent. And now you're seeing what, you know, the things kind of make a little bit of a difference when you're not dragging anchors around the ice. So we'll see what happens. They might offer him the Hurdle bridge deal, but I can't imagine at this point. I think they've seen enough of Tierney that he's got to get a minimum 3-year deal.
So interesting, Nick Neftepitz with an interesting kind of little tidbit for us all.
When is he going to change his? When is he going to change his thing to autographed Donskoy jersey instead of Nick Neftepitz?
What would the Sharks' record be with Marlowe at the halfway point of this season? And in hindsight, do we wish the Sharks would have got Marlowe for the 2-year contract?
Well, two years weren't on the table.
No, it was not. He wanted 3, and that was what was the deciding factor, because the Sharks did offer up that second year and offered up the money. He wanted the 3rd year. Hmm. I don't think we would have seen the growth from Meyer and LeBanc like we've seen this year, because I just don't think that there would have been enough room in the end for those two, especially with the amount of money that Bodker's making right now.
Maybe, but when it comes to like the record question of it, honestly, I don't know that. Maybe the Sharks have 2 more wins, maybe 3 more wins, because there's a couple games like tonight where they go 0-for-5 on the power play that maybe Marlowe is a difference in 2 or 3 of those games. So I'm thinking maybe they have, 4 to 6 more points, maybe.
Leanne Thornhill, I don't know if you're first, but thanks for chiming in. We are at 100 goals at this point of the season. Today, we're at 100 goals. Same time last season, we were at 92 goals. So the Sharks, for as much as we say the team can't score, last year it was pretty bad too. But this year, 8 more goals than we had last year at the same point in the season just goes to show you that the kids are stepping up. Now, is it as much as we would have wanted? No. I think we're still looking.
It's never enough.
Exactly. It's never. If it was a 10-0 shutout every game, it still
would be.
Why wasn't it 11?
Well, I think we can circle Mikael Bodker, to be quite honest, as somebody that's really disappointing. I think that we can also probably circle Donskoy with a little bit of a kind of a slow start. Pavelski.
For me, it's Pavelski and Burns.
Pavelski and Burns. If you get, let's say from Pavelski and Burns, you get
another 5-6 goals each.
Yeah. 5 or 6 goals each. So you got 12 goals there. And let's just for shits and giggles, say 5 goals from Bodker.
No, Hanson. Jessica, you're right.
A little bit of Hanson.
But a little bit of Hanson.
The other
more goals. Mister,
he was supposed on paper, he looks like he's supposed to have 30 goals.
Right. But Leanne, I think another thing that we need to key in on, though, is you're talking about goals for. What about goals against? Because the Sharks defense, the first 2 months of this season, those guys were on lockdown.
Yeah. And I think as the season's kind of progressed, I think the defense has kind of regressed a skosh.
While the offense
has kind of picked it up. So,
yeah. We had that stretch where the Sharks, over the course of, I think it was like the calendar month of November, had like a 6% power play. Like they had scored like 3 on like 32 chances or something like that over the course of November. Whereas just recently they had like a 9 consecutive games where they scored a power play goal. So while the defense has tailed off a little bit, at least we've seen the power play wake up. Of course, not tonight, but.
In other Sharks, former Sharks news, Freddie Hamilton was claimed by the Arizona Coyotes. So the Hamilton, one of the Hamilton brothers, is going back to the Southwest. And
wasn't Freddie Hamilton playing for Calgary?
He was. Yeah. So it was him and Dougie were together.
Yeah.
And actually Dougie threw a shit fit in Calgary, basically saying, I want my brother here. So they went out and they got him, and so Freddie
taught me how to Dougie, but didn't teach me how to Freddie.
Pretty much. So,
wow.
Just one of those, one of those kids that never really panned out, one of those kind of middling draft picks that you had that just didn't really find a spot, and there you go. He's claimed by the Arizona Coyotes, and on his way he goes.
It happens.
Rocket Pander, Backhander, Viva La Flames. I like it.
Viva La Flame.
Quickly going over, Calgary has scored now. They're now up 3-2 against the Kings.
Always a good sign.
Yep. And Edmonton's still clinging on to 1-0 against Anaheim, although Anaheim does have a power play going into the third period. Nashville and Arizona tied 1-1. Kind of interesting there.
I got to say, I love early games for the Sharks.
I think just being in town and knowing what I know about Predators, I think they lost Philip Forsberg and they lost Victor Arvidsson too.
Ooh.
And I think, yeah, and they don't have Ryan Ellis. So, I mean, Ryan Ellis is supposed to be back for their game on the 9th, but so they're just getting the crap beat out of them physically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go, that's their dogs. Go.
Yeah. Right now, quickly, just kind of looking over the projected cap space and the cap space that the Sharks have. The Sharks are in at 10 million current cap space and a projected cap space of 5. So, you know, there's some room to wiggle there, you know, but
who's available, right? And what do the Sharks, you got to give to get. So what are the Sharks, what do the Sharks have to give at this point that, you know, resembles anything of value?
And right.
And Aaron Dell has to be at the top of that list.
The interesting thing that, Kevin Kurz, who was interviewed, check out somewhere in the archives, we have a Kevin Kurz interview, but Kevin Kurz was saying that the Sharks are going to be looking to nibble around the edges this year. They are really happy with the growth of the young players. So the young players have become untouchables, basically. It looks like Tierney has played himself off the trading block. It's going to be fringe deals that the Sharks are going to be looking at, adding another bottom six piece, and making a trade from a position of strength, which would be an excess defenseman, maybe a Dylan DeMello. I wouldn't want to part with Ryan or Heed. I think DeMello has been superseded by those two. I think that's the kind of deal that he's saying that we're looking at right now. Unless we can get a GM who really just needs to move something. I'm paging you in Montreal, Bergevin, and getting
Ottawa, maybe
Ottawa, Buffalo, Montreal. Those are the people that I'm looking at to try and get a silly move, you know, but you know, and Tracy bringing up a great point, Tracy Kelberg in the chat, don't trip. The Sharks are top five in a lot of the major metrics in the NHL. So, you know, PDB, for what he's got, he's making it work. But I still think that if the Sharks want to make an extended run, they need some scoring.
And that is a good point that Tracy brings up if you think about the fact that the Sharks play in a division that is not the most competitive. when you look at it where it's like, the Pacific and Atlantic, number one through the bottom is separated by a whopping 10 to 11 points, whereas the Central and the Metropolitan are like separated between 30 points between top and bottom. So the Sharks, I think, get away with that. The other thing being is that the Sharks I don't have the numbers right in front of me. I'm sure Gen X or somebody can pull it out. But I think the Sharks, possibly in the Pacific, possibly in the West, have played the least amount of games thus far.
They have. Yeah. They have. That is
So that's not something to sneeze at, but it's one of those things that when the schedule starts to become a bit more compressed and we start to get in line with everybody else, that we'll see what happens. We're starting to see now that what the Sharks having to play 3 and 4 nights and 5 and 7 nights. So, you know, it's that compression going to start to get there. But let's be honest, you know, between tomorrow and Sunday, and I expect a hell of a game on Sunday because empty the tank, boys. You have a whole week at home off.
Yeah, I agree. Look, you got Ottawa coming up. So, hey, if you're able to get 2 points tomorrow, I don't really care how they get them. But if you get 2 points tomorrow, you get 3 points basically in that back-to-back. That's a win. You go into Winnipeg and say you either draw a point there or you get 2 points there. That's
I mean, if you can draw 7 out of a possible 8 points, that's a win on every trip.
Right, pretty much. So, you know, I honestly think that they're right. I mean, the Sharks, maybe they can win and pull an LA Kings of 2012. I mean,
hey, let's not get crazy.
Let's not get crazy, but it's definitely, let's put it to you this way, it's definitely not as far as a stretch as we thought at the beginning of the season, right?
No,
we thought this team was not going to be sniffing anywhere near, you know, contender status, and they've kind of quietly crept better than we expected. Yeah. I think most people would say that they're better.
Yeah, and you know, it's a couple episodes of the Pucknologist, we did kind of our hat trick of like three surprises versus three disappointments, and you know, I can't imagine anybody's list not being top number one with Bodker on disappointments, but I think Bodker's been a disappointment. Burns early on, he seems to be coming around. I think Dylan has a lot to do with that. And Hansen, I expected a lot more from Hansen this season. But surprises, I think it's clearly got to be
Meyer.
I think Meyer's kind of about where you thought he might be. For me, the surprises this year, Tierney exceeding expectation. Aaron Dell, for me, is probably number one on that list. And maybe like the pair of Ryan and Heed. I don't know that we thought because they were thrown into the fire so early with Martin going down in the second game. So,
Tracy. So far this part, I would say Dylan and Tierney really both stepped up their game noticeably.
Yeah, no, Dylan has been a really great surprise with his increase in the skating. I would just say acumen. Tracy bringing up LeBanc, but I think LeBanc, we had high hopes for him because of how well he did in the OHL. Donskoy, Nifnek Tepetz coming in with Donskoy, Tierney, and Dell. Donskoy is kind of interesting because we did think that he would bounce back. I don't know how well we thought he was going to bounce back, but we definitely thought he was going to bounce back. I think he's about on track to have a good bounce back season. You know what? Nifnek Tepetz is also bringing up a good point. Joe Thornton coming off a major knee surgery. I mean, he did not let on how badly it was, but it was pretty catastrophic. And to lead his team in points, pretty damn impressive. Pretty damn impressive for how old he is. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, do you guys think that Jumbo's been impressive this year? Do you think he's been about where we thought he would be?
I think he started late, but he's definitely come into his own over the last, you know, couple weeks.
I think that Jumbo's progress this year is it's just a product of good nutrition, good training, and basically medicine. He's taking care of himself, and he doesn't have any bad vices other than maybe like the occasional gummy bear. I don't know what kind of sweets he likes, but you know what I mean? Like he doesn't have like a tobacco problem. He has kids and he's always training and stuff, so he doesn't really drink.
Well, let's see where this – go ahead. Go ahead.
Those kinds of things can really inhibit your progress. Rafi Torres.
Mark Bell. He was a smoker, yeah, right?
Huh?
Torres smoked,
Rafi Torres, right? Was a chew. He was a chewer. He's Latin, but
– Well, and early on, Scott Hannon was a smoker too.
Yeah, and like you can't – I don't care about what it does to your lungs and whatever else. It impedes your ability to regenerate and heal yourself. It will mess you up.
So. Yeah, this is what I was about to point up when I so rudely tried to interrupt Rocket, and now Gen X is putting it in there, is that let's see what this team looks like when they get back from the road trip now that pot is legal in California.
Hey, you know what? That, you know what?
That I might be part of it.
You know, Jumbo might be freaking scoring a point per game, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, dude, this team better look to CBD. They better look to hell. They better look a hell of a lot more relaxed.
Well, the you know thing about it, though, good. Is that apparently, and I had asked somebody this question about, like, you know, do they drug test the players? And they're like, well, yeah. And it's like, well, what happens if it turns up positive? And they're like, nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
I was really?
They're not battling for an Olympic medal.
They don't make an issue about it unless it becomes an issue. So, like, right. Even if they're aware of your personal use and whatever, as long as it doesn't spill over into your professional work life, you know, so as long as you show up and you do your job and you do your job to the fullest of your abilities, they really don't care.
Yeah. So,
Joe is eating like a brick-sized pop brownie after every game. More power to him because it's obviously helping, and CBD is a miracle drug.
And now that the pot is legal in California, this just in: Tim Lincecum making a return to the Giants. no, actually, you know, the thing is, I don't know if you've seen the latest photos of Tim Lincecum. Dude, that dude is cut the hell up.
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't say he's buff, but he's
brutal. Oh, Calgary just scores again.
All right, Calgary. Go, Calgary.
Too excited.
Oh, Monahan drops it in.
Yeah. I mean, Lincecum. it's been pretty funny. You know, I would venture to guess that the two biggest potheads are probably Jones and Dell, the goalies.
I bet you got to be relaxed.
Yeah. It's
probably Couture and LeBanc.
It should be Bodker.
It should be
Bodker. It should be Bodker.
To mellow.
Yeah, he does. I you know, quickly going over tonight's the areas that the goals were scored. I know I kind of got a little bit lit up on Twitter about this, but I didn't like either goals from that Jones let in. 2 5-hole goals that, quite honestly, if he was in a little bit better position and had his pads down or the paddle in front of the 5-hole, he would have stopped both of those.
And I'm still wondering if Jones is fighting something.
I think so too. Either that or he needs to, you know, go, you know, get a little bit of training on the side from Nabby to kind of rehone his reactionary skills. Because right now, when he is getting set on the puck, you're seeing that 5-hole open up. And I mean, the game-winning shootout goal tonight was 5-hole. And as much people they want to light me up on Twitter, you got to have those. Those 2 5-hole goals were not good.
Yeah, they weren't. But again, we've seen this from the Sharks. I don't know how many times. And I mean, Brody's mentioned this. Curtis was mentioned. So many guys that typically on a general night, the Sharks, if they can pot 3, that's typically good for a win. And tonight, that would have been the case. That would have been good for a win. Again, I go back to, if they could put in one of those power play goals, we're probably not talking about Jones that much. So, but I do agree that, Jones, I still feel like he's fighting something. And I hope he takes this bye week next week to kind of just, you know, test out test out the new marijuana laws in California and just like be mellow and dial the shit back in.
Yeah, no, agreed. And Martin Jones clocking in with a respectable 929 save percentage tonight.
Respectable, you know, not great.
Respectable. Yeah. Anderson had a 943 save percentage. That was really good. So yeah. I mean, the goaltenders did their jobs, kept their respective teams into the game. I think the Sharks got really lucky on the 2 goals that they scored tonight. Quickly just going down the shot line at the stat line. Sharks 35 shots on goal to the Maple Leafs 28 shots on goal. Sharks win the faceoff battle 52-49%. 0-for-5. I mean, we're talking the power play drum here, and I'll get you a big one, AJ. This is a Sharky sized drum. Sharks go 0-for-5 and they let in a power play goal from the Maple Leafs. So, I mean, do you lose the special teams battle, you're going to lose the game. Most nights, that's when it's going to be. Pims, 13 Pims for the Sharks, 17 Pims for the Maple Leafs. Hits 30-16 in favor of the Sharks. It seemed like the Sharks had a lot of possession tonight. So,
especially in the second.
Especially in the second. So I don't know where that's from. Blocks, 13-12 is pretty even. The big one tonight, and I think this is contributor numero uno to why the Sharks got a loser point tonight, was the giveaways. The Sharks had 8 giveaways tonight, and the Maple Leafs had 17.
That is a product of youth, my friends. That is why the Maple Leafs have such an issue closing the door on teams. That's why they let teams creep in on them, because you cannot give away the puck 17 times in a game. I don't care who you are. Jeez. So AJ quickly wants to go around the league. We'll wrap it up with standings. We'll also quickly go over our little meetup at Famous Dave's, and then I'll wrap it up.
Yeah. This is one you don't see very often, but the game tonight between the Florida Panthers and Boston Bruins was snowed out. So that's postponed. We'll see how they get that one back on the schedule, because obviously the Sharks, just the NHL in general, sometimes that scheduling is so compressed that it's always fun to try to wedge in that extra game. And especially if it means something on the back end, which we saw, I believe it. What was it? It was a couple of years ago where like the LA Kings had to fly to Washington the day after the what was supposed to be the final game of the season to play a makeup game. But I digress. We got the Wild taking it to the Sabres 6-2. And this one, Dubnyk takes the victor. But we had, Niederreiter gets a Hattie in this one. Yes, Niederreiter gets a Hattie, so good for you. And a player involved in the Burns trade, Charlie Coyle, gets a goal in this one as well. The Blues are one of the rare teams that beat the Golden Knights, but of course this game did not happen in Vegas, so go figure. The Canadiens in the shootout, 2-1 over the Lightning. Nothing out of the ordinary there, with the exception of Pacioretty getting the goal. And I don't know, for those of you who have been paying attention on the rumor wires, that Pacioretty may be, in fact, on his way out of Montreal. We shall see.
I think the exact rumor is Nugent Hopkins for Pacioretty.
Ooh, that could be interesting. That could be really interesting, actually. The Hurricanes blank the Penguins, which is always fun. And this was a game, my friends, where we Cam Warded this bitch. That's what happened. For nothing.
I really want a t-shirt that's in the Teal Town USA teal that says, "I'm going to Cam Ward this bitch."
That's all.
Fantastic. I would dig that.
That's all I'm saying.
Bring hockey back. Make it a thing.
In a rare victory in Philadelphia, they win 6-4 over the Islanders. Clutterbuck comes one away from a Hattie, as does Pavarov. So a lot of two-goal games for guys down there. The Maple Leafs, 3-2 in the shootout over the goddamn Sharks. Okay, moving on. Game still in play right now as we're recording. Predators, 2-1 over the Desert Dogs with 17 left in the third. Ducks on a power play, and they're down 1-0 to the Edmonton Oilers at the end of two. Also at the end of two, the Flames up 4-2 on the Kings. That's one of those ones where obviously we don't want the Kings to win, but then again, the Flames are too close to the Sharks in the standings for us to actually root for them. It's a very Sophie's Choice game, that one. Avalanche 1-0 over the BJs. BJs on a power play at the end of two. And for your free hockey game on NHL.com, the Stars 4-2 over the Devils with 5 minutes left in the third.
What about the Duckies and the Oilers? I mean, that one's going to be kind of interesting too. Duckies,
I'm rooting for the Oilers in that one, just based on standings.
Right. And standings wise, I mean, I think it's safe to say the Oilers, I think they're running out of runway here. They got to put together a nice little 4 or 5 game win streak to sniff it.
Well, you mentioned that trade earlier. I mean,
maybe, but I mean,
it's amazing the amount of talent that has moved out, who has been sent out of Edmonton, you know, at the forward position over the last few years. So who knows?
I wonder what the consistent thing has been there. Maybe it's dumbass GMs moving good pieces.
I don't know.
But AJ, why don't you quickly talk a little bit about the meetup that will be going on at
Famous Dave's?
Yeah, let me get the Let me get the thing up. Let me do it. There it is.
Okay, so if you're looking for something to do, this Sunday for Winnipeg West Side Story game, Sharks and the Jets, come down and join us at Famous Dave's Barbecue. It's at the Plant Shopping Center, real easy to get into, across from a phenomenally awesome graveyard. But it's a nice shopping center. And if you want to get there a little early and get some, you know, errands ran, they have a Ross. There's like a Home Depot. There's a Target. There's all sorts of interesting places to get some shopping done. There's even a Starbucks there if you want to get there early. So come on down, watch the game. We're taking over the back room, if you're not aware, at Famous Dave's. There's a nice back room, bizarrely enough, located in the back. And they've got a big-ass screen. In fact, I believe it's brought to you by Big Ass Screens, and we're going to have the game going on. If you want to keep an eye on the football game, you can run to the bar, catch a little bit of the NFL playoffs, and you know what? We'll get you out of there in time to make it home for the Golden Globes. So come on down, Famous Dave's Barbecue. I think Putt Guy and I will probably be setting up shop about 11:30, right when pregame starts. We should have some prizes, some fun goodies to give away. There may be a Chum jersey involved in that, which could be kind of cool. There's some playoff towels. In fact, actually, since the last little matchup that we did, or the last little get-together, I think I've got my hands on some more goodies to give away. So if you want to win something and have some good barbecue and make fun of Putt Guy's internet connection to his face, come on down and, you know, join us. Have a good time. If you want to make fun of my interconnection to my face, by all means.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you can't make it down, there's always the chat and, you know, catching us on the replays like here. So you can catch us everywhere. If you missed anything from the show, you want to watch it on YouTube replay, if you want to listen to it in the car or on the treadmill or whatever, we're on iTunes, we're on the Google Play Store, we're on SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and of course on YouTube. We're going to quickly get some last thoughts wrapping it up here. Rocket, anything you want to add about tonight's game or anything about the NHL in general?
We got a point.
We got a point.
No, you got a point. Oh, you have a really good point.
AJ.
Bad point. Yeah.
AJ, do you have anything to wrap up before we take it on out?
Just, you know, based on those matchups we were talking about earlier, no, you got to root for you got to root for LA tonight, because Calgary is only 5 points behind San Jose. In the Anaheim game, you're definitely rooting for Edmonton, because Anaheim is 1 point behind San Jose. So
and they just scored. So it is tied.
Crap sakes. aside from that, we put out a new Pucknologist earlier this week, so go check it out. There was a lot to cover because we took the holidays off. So that was a lot of fun, and I know Rocket had a couple funny stories in that one. So check out the Pucknologist. There'll be a new one next week, you would assume. I'm AJ_Strong on the Twitter and the Instagram. And occasionally I do some silly stuff for at TealTownUSA on Twitter and Instagram as well.
I'm Eric Landy. You can catch me here. You can catch me on Twitter at Eric Landy. You can catch me on Instagram, Facebook, all of those social media. You can even hit me up on LinkedIn if you want to, if you're part of the whole technology sector. Yeah, there's a thing, you know. I'm a professional.
That's still a thing.
that's still a thing for working.
Brought to you by the producers of MySpace.
Yeah. Rocket, where can the lovely ladies and gentlemen find you and follow you?
This information is not for everybody, only the sexy people. Okay.
I give you about 10 seconds to get to the dance floor.
Dance, I said.
Cat Spunky.
Okay, so
yo, baby pop.
Yeah, don't get me started, dude. Don't, because I'll just keep going. My name is Rocket Backhander, and I'm here to say that I love the Sharks in a major way. You can find me on Twitter, making funky rhymes and producing fat beats, phatbatz, talking about, you know, sharks hockey, and also what it's like living in Nashville. It's really cold right now. It's a capital R, capital B, little Akander 76. Figure it out. Also, you can hang out with me on Instagram. A visual photographic journey of, again, life here in Nashville. Frozen underground, teal bunker. It's our Rocket Backhander. One word.
Ah, this is Rocket. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we'll see you after tomorrow's game. I think Puckeye will be driving the show. I might be on again. I don't know. We'll see. And again, if you haven't already, please follow us. There's a subscribe button down there. Again, use the social media links that we provided a little bit earlier. And have a great night. We'll see you after the game tomorrow against the Senators.